Well, God bless you guys. It's awesome. What a privilege to just come as a group and study the Word of God. Amen. And just been reading lately and meditating on the book of Hebrews, on the epistle to the Hebrews. And that's what we're going to be covering tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I've entitled the message, Staying the Course of Faith. And just to open up, you've heard of the story of the two frogs. They fell into a can of cream, and the sides of the can were shiny, steep. It was cold. And oh, what's the use, said the first frog. 'Tis fate. No help's around. Goodbye, my friend, he told him. Goodbye, sad world. And weeping still, he drowned. But the second frog, sterner stuff, kept paddling, which was wise. Then while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, he said, I'll swim a while at last. He thought, this cream I still can tread. It wouldn't really help the world if one more frog was dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and kicked, then hopped out via butter. And sometimes life just seems kind of hopeless to us. I don't know if you all have ever experienced that. I know my family, we've had seasons of that. And sometimes we just don't understand why things happen, as Bruce was just saying. It's just beyond us. Sometimes we think, I don't know if you all think, as I have in the past, that maybe things happen that are bad to me and it's punishment from God. And I think to myself, man, I deserve it. And I do it all the time. I mean, I'll smash my finger at work and I'll say, okay, I deserve that. Look, you know, all right, I can see. I understand, right? Or perhaps maybe you just lack faith to like really understand and realize that God has a calling on your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're kind of in the valley. You need encouragement. Maybe you wonder to yourself, you know, why do we follow God? Why? I don't see Him. I haven't heard Him speak to me. Why do this? And it's okay to question those things, but you've got to look for the answers. And there are answers to all of those things. We must pray that God would give us the same perspective that Paul had. And he wrote, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us up to heaven. We're going to be talking about, in the epistle of the Hebrews, about just staying the course and the keys that God has given us in this text to staying the course and just maintaining that faith. Just to give you kind of a background, Hebrews is known as God's final message to Judaism. In it, you're going to find that Christ is the author of a new covenant, and you're going to find the glorious destiny of man. We don't know who the author wrote it. A lot of people think Paul. Some say Apollos, others Barnabas. It'd be cool if it was Paul, just because I love the way Paul writes, but we're not sure. It was written before the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD. All of this is important, and I bring it up because we have to have that understanding. It was written to a group of people who had a Jewish background. And you see the relation from the Old Testament to what the writer is saying. And he relates a lot of the traditions and a lot of the sacrifices and things that happen in the Old Testament. And he kind of puts a new meaning to it in the New Testament. And so we're going to pick up there. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into the text. Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are in control of every single thing, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you know our life from beginning to end. You know what happens before it even does, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for all the apostles. We thank you for all the testimonies that we have from the Old Testament, from your word. Lord, encourage us tonight. We love you, Lord, and we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three keys that I see in this text. Let's go ahead and read it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." We're going to look at three keys that I see here. We're going to look at, first of all, one of the keys to maintaining and staying the course of faith is seeing the witness that others have left for us. We're also going to see that if we keep our eyes on Jesus and look to him, that would be a tremendous help. And last of all, we're going to see that in the midst of hardships, it is still totally possible to go ahead and continue in the faith. Let's go ahead and look at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, that word "therefore" is huge. I mean, you can't just read "therefore" and not know what it's there for, right? You've heard that saying before. That "therefore" is there in relation to Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the chapter of faith. You have the faith hall of fame there. And keeping in mind that the people that were reading this knew all the stories of the people that were discussed in Hebrews chapter 11. I kind of made myself a spreadsheet. And it's really cool. Just to mention a few, I wouldn't want to have to read right now all of Hebrews chapter 11. But just listen to these people that it talks about. And honestly, I think this pumped them up. I mean, when I was studying this, I could almost hear the Rocky music, you know, playing in the background. Because, man, these are the awesome stories. Picking a few of them, we've got Enoch. Man, Enoch was a guy that it says walked with God. He pleased God, and all of a sudden it says that he walked with God, and then he was not. He was translated, for the Lord took him. Boom, he's gone. We have Noah. Man, what a display of faith. Nobody, do you guys realize, had ever seen rain when all of this happened in the time of Noah. It didn't exist. And all of the time that it took him to build it, to build the ark, people were mocking him, making fun of him, and yet he did it. And because of that, him and his family were saved. We have Abraham. Imagine if you were brought up here in El Paso. You would never want to leave, right? I would, but maybe you guys wouldn't want to leave. And God were to call you and say, "Hey, you know what, man? I want you to go to Cumbia, India, right now. And just go." And perhaps we would struggle. Well, you know what? Abraham did it, man. God told him, "Abraham, I want you to go." Well, it was Abram at the time. "I want you to go to this place that I'm going to show you. It's far away. You don't know where it is, but just go." And Abraham did it. And also, what about his son? God told him, "Look, I want you to go and sacrifice your son." And he tested Abraham. And the guy did it. Man, I love my kids. I wouldn't be able to do it. But Abraham, he did it. We have Sarah, who first of all laughed when God told her that she was going to have a child, but then later came to faith and believed. We have Joseph. Man, poor Joseph. His brothers were so... Sometimes I feel like him to a small degree, because I'm the youngest of seven, and they all, some of them gave me a hard time growing up. But Joseph, wow. He even had the faith. When he died, he commanded that his bones be taken to Canaan. He said, look, the Lord is going to deliver us. There will come a day. And I want you to take my bones and bury my bones in the promised land that God is going to give to us. We have Moses. Man, the Red Sea. 9-year-old Joey was asked by his mother what he learned in Sunday school. Well, Mom, our teacher told us how God set Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he had his engineers build a pontoon bridge, and all the people walked across safely. Then he used his walkie-talkie to radio headquarters and call in for an airstrike. They sent in bombers to blow up the bridge, and all the Israelites were saved. And the mom told him, now, Joey, is that really what your teacher taught you? And he said, well, no, Mom, but if I told you the way the teacher did, you'd never believe it. Walking across the Red Sea, man, amongst so many other wonders that God did, he chose to suffer with Israel. He forsook Egypt. He kept the Passover. How weird is that? Hey, guys, look, I want you to go and we're going to wipe all this blood on your doorpost, okay? And God's going to pass over us. He did it. Then we have Joshua. Joshua, who was told by God to walk around the walls. And I can imagine what he wanted to do. You know, I would have said, Lord, come on, can't I just like run at the wall and you knock it down and make it look like I did it? You know, God told him, look, just walk around. And he did it and it happened. We have Gideon, we have David, we have Daniel in the lion's den. We have Jeremiah, who was tortured. Elijah, Elisha, they raised the dead. Zechariah was stoned to death. Isaiah, though it's not in the Word of God, tradition says he was sawn in two. These are the testimonies of faith that it is referring to in verse chapter 1 when it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Man, he's saying, guys, get pumped up. Look at what God has done through these people in the past. Look at what he's done. And it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're going to look at a few key words that I think are really important. First of all, it says we're to lay aside. In the Greek, that pretty much means to renounce something or to give something up. Keep in mind that he's referring to this as a race. So if you're going to run the triathlon, you're going to run a 20-mile race. You're not going to go wearing combat boots, baggy pants, like all my pants fit me baggy just because I have no choice. I wouldn't wear those. You're not going to run with weights in your hands, right? It would be ridiculous. So, first of all, we're supposed to lay aside. That is to just give it up, man. It's like, Lord, I really like these combat boots. Some of you women, I can already hear you. But they're so cool. It's what's in right now. Just kidding. I don't want to offend anybody, you know. But it just doesn't make sense. So, first of all, he says, lay aside or renounce, man. Give it up. The weight. That word weight simply means the burden, impediment, a bulk, or a mass. Give it up. It's not convenient for you. I thought it was interesting that he separates the two. Give up every single weight and every single sin. Let's think about this. What are the weights in your life that are kind of keeping you slow? That necessarily aren't sin, if that makes sense. Things that are just distracting you from the race, man. Things that are just hindering you. For me, just to name a few, I know, man, I'm bad. I have to admit, sit me in front of a good movie and TV and I'm stuck. And I don't care if that movie's 3 hours long. I'm there, dude. That's horrible. That's one of my flaws. You guys fill in the blank. Is it a sin for me to sit there and watch The Sound of Music? No. But maybe I could be doing other things, you know. Now, it says to lay that aside, and also the sin. Sin here means a failing to hit the mark. God has set the standard for us, and if you don't hit that, that's sin. That's not doing what God has called you to do. It is something that totally prevents or retards you from running. Because it says that it easily ensnares you. It's a sin that so easily ensnares you. What are your weaknesses, man? All of us have weaknesses, right? For some of us, it's fudge chocolate. I don't know. For others, it's the internet. Maybe alcohol. Maybe hanging out with the wrong crowd. Maybe watching things on TV that are just putting bad things in your mind. Whatever the case may be, there are those things that lead you to sin, and they ensnare you. They're holding you back. It's not the way God intended you to run the race of faith. You're carrying too much baggage with you. And it says that we're to do it with endurance. This could be translated patient endurance. Constantly, perseveringly, we're supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be just, it's not easy. I always used to laugh in the Rocky movies. You say, man, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain, you know. And it's kind of the same way in our life. There's things that we don't want to give up. But unless we give those things up, we're just going to stay behind. You've got to give some things up to move forward. In Luke, a rich young ruler went up to Jesus and he said, look, what do I have to do? And Jesus told him a couple of things. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, look, I already do these. And Jesus told him, you still lack one thing. All that you have, go and sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and then follow me. It says, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, he said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Man, we're in the army now. We're in God's army. And when God sent out the disciples, he didn't tell them to pack their luggage, go rent a U-Haul. He said, man, don't take anything. Just take what you need and go. And that needs to be our attitude in life. What is your unnecessary baggage? Paul also wrote, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Man, let's not disqualify ourselves. So, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What race has God called you to? It's different for everyone. It's not the same track, you know. I've got my circumstances. I'm the youngest of 7. Maybe you're the oldest of 10. And you had all the responsibilities and you had to take care of the younger brats. Maybe you're doing well in life right now. Maybe financially you're stable. And maybe you're not. Well, that's the race that God is setting before you. That is your race that he wants you to run. So I got to thinking. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I have to admit that sometimes I lack faith. You know, sometimes we doubt God. And it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. I think in order for us to run with endurance, we have to have that faith that Paul had. Could it be that it is impossible to please God without faith because without it, we don't seriously believe in God? Or without it, we don't really believe that nothing is impossible for Him. And without faith, we don't really believe that He is right here by my side and He sees and knows every single thing about me. Do you realize that? If I could see Jesus standing right here, right in front of me, I would believe. Wouldn't you guys? I mean, if you could see Jesus right here, whoa, I'd bow before Him right now. Well, guess what? The Word of God says that He is right here. And that is faith. That is the faith that we need. We need to have that faith to know, you know what? Jesus is right here by my side. He promised He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. For with God, nothing is impossible. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not even know." George Mueller, I don't know if many of you know of George Mueller, but he did amazing things. Basically made a whole block of houses for orphans, did all sorts of things. And throughout his life, he made rules for himself, one of which was he was never going to get in debt. He was never going to do anything unless he had all the money to do it. And you should see pictures of the buildings that were made and the things that he accomplished. Unbelievable. And he did it all without getting into any kind of debt. There's dozens of stories where a lot of times they ran out of money. They didn't have food. And a couple of times they were getting ready to pray for lunch, and there was no lunch there. And the people told him, "Mr. Mueller, we don't have food." And he said, "Well, what time is it? It's not 12 o'clock yet, right?" And they would say, "Well, no." And number of times he would get a knock on the door. I remember one time, I think a milk truck had just broken down. He said, "You know what, man, my truck just broke down. It's going to go bad, so here you go. This is all for you." Another time, somebody knocked and said, "I just couldn't sleep last night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I just couldn't sleep. I had to make you guys bread. I don't know why, but here it is. This is for you." Why? How did he have that kind of faith? Why don't I have that kind of faith? Why don't you have that kind of faith? Listen to what he wrote. He said, "The less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. The less we pray, the less we desire to pray. It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the Word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the Scriptures when we don't enjoy them, and if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer." Doesn't that make so much sense? When you get good at something, I know I try to play golf, and it just feels so awesome when I play good. I want to go back and play. When I play bad, I give it up. I give my clubs away. I don't want to play anymore. And it's the same way in reading. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? The less we read, the less we're going to want to read. The more we read, the more the Word is in us that the Holy Spirit can teach us and reveal things to us. The less we pray, the less we're connected with God. But the more we pray, the more we remember and know, and the more we're going to see God answering our prayers. That all leads to faith. So first of all, we have to see what the witnesses have left for us. And I think all those guys had this in common. They had faith. How they arrived to it, there was many different circumstances, but I can tell you, they all had a connection with God that was unique and deep. And that's one thing that we need. Reading on, in verse 2 it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Second thing looking unto Jesus, keeping your eyes on Jesus in the midst of difficult times, in the midst of trials, tribulations, it seems impossible. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? Well, I'm going to read you a few verses here. In Isaiah, first of all, God says, "Look at me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." So there is only one God. Jesus told the Pharisees, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And they told him, "Dude, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen father Abraham?" And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." God did what, though? Look at what Jesus did. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of cross." First of all, God, our Creator, came down, humbled himself, became one of us, and died for all the sins that you were going to commit. It says that he is the author. And in this word, in the Greek, it could mean one that takes the lead in anything, and thus affords an example. It is a predecessor in a matter. Jesus started our faith. It says in Hebrews 2, it says, "For it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." And Jesus suffered for us. And it says that he is also our finisher. This could be translated perfecter. He is the author and he is a perfecter. One who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection and so set before us the highest example of faith. And this word only occurs here. Jesus' faith is greater than all of those in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because he knew, obviously, he's God. He was 100% human, but he knew the reality of God the Father. He knew exactly who he was serving and who he was living for. If you've become a Christian, if you've given your life to Christ, he's not going to let you go. And he has this race set before you, but he's going to help you all the way to the finish line. It says so in Philippians. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will not complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And in Ephesians, it says that we receive the Holy Spirit and that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So I got to thinking, Jesus, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's our author. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher. Imagine with me if Jesus had not come to die for our sins. Let's just imagine this for a second. What would be different? Where would our faith begin? I made a small list. If Jesus had not come, there would have been no pleasing sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. We would then have no direct access to God. We still need the priest thing happening. We'd still be like with a huge barrier, the barrier of sin between us and God. The only way to heaven would be to live perfectly in obedience, keeping the Ten Commandments, never, ever breaking them in deed or in thought. That would be the only way to get into heaven. It would be impossible, right? We would not have God the Holy Spirit living in us, guiding us, teaching us, encouraging us, filling us. And how much less we would know about God the Father, since we wouldn't have Jesus to study, because Jesus is the express image of God, right? And we would have no hope. If Jesus had not come, we would all be destined to hell. What hope is there? I'm going to try and live a long life so I won't have to die. But Jesus did come, and we have hope. And it says that he endured the cross. Man, look at what he did for us. Before it happened, he cried out and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what your will be. It says in Isaiah, prophesying of him, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And when it happened, it says that they spat in his face and they beat him. Others struck him with the palm of their hand, saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took off the robe. They put on his own clothes and they led him away to be crucified. Man, he went through all this for you. He did this for you. The awesome thing is that now he is seated at the right hand of God. When the writer of Hebrews opened up, listen to how he did it. In verse 1:1, he says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by other prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. There's an awesome hymn that I've wanted to sing, but to be honest with you, I don't know it. And it was written based on this verse. And the chorus goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And listen to the verses. It says, oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. That's what's going to carry us. I think that's the hugest thing that we can do. Let's read on in verse 3, going back to Hebrews chapter 12. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So now we're starting to get into the hardships. And it says, look, consider all that Jesus went through. Look at how hard he had it. And realize that it's not all that bad what you're going to in comparison. And he conquered it, so can you. George Mueller, again, I'm going to quote him. He said this, why should we limit either the goodness or the power of God by our own knowledge of what we call the laws of nature? To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm amid severe testings. If the Lord fails me at this time, it'll be the first time. The province of faith begins where probability sees and sight and sense fail. And I heard of a missionary, somebody who's telling a story, and she was seriously ill. And because of no money, had to live on oatmeal and canned milk. Okay? She received her check 30 days later. After mentioning this incident while on furlough, a doctor asked the nature of her illness, and she described the intestinal digestive trouble she had been having. And the doctor told her, well, if your check had arrived on time, you would have been eating your current diet, you'd be dead right now. Because the best treatment for your illness was a 30-day oatmeal diet. That seems kind of far stretched, but I didn't make this up, man. You know, our problem is that we do not wait upon the Lord. We forget that it's through faith and patience that we obtain God's promises. Can you imagine? I would have been so mad having to live on just oatmeal. But, man, that God was working, you know. In comparison to Jesus' sufferings, we're supposed to take up our cross and follow Him daily. But we don't carry the same cross that Jesus had to carry. It's not as great a cross. Man, He carried the ultimate cross and died once for all. It says that we should not despise the chastening of the Lord in verse 5. And in Psalm 119 it says, I know, Lord, that Your judgments are right and that in faithfulness You have afflicted me. Question. Does God punish us? Do you believe that God punishes you for your sins? Do you think He does? Well, I sometimes have thought that He does. But I'm convinced after studying this that He doesn't punish us. Why? Because He already punished Jesus Christ for your sins. The punishment has been paid for. When Jesus said, "It is finished," I understand that they would stamp that on receipts back in those times using that same word. And it would mean paid in full. Balance zero. Man, all your sins have been paid for by Jesus. The punishment has been taken by Him. You can thank Him for that. But consider the following verses. In John 15, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. In Proverbs, it says that he who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You know what? God loves us. If He didn't allow these trials to go on, if He didn't discipline us, then that would mean that He didn't love us. But God does love us, and He disciplines us to sanctify us for perfection, for completion, in order that we may bear more fruit for His glory. Does that make sense? So God doesn't punish us, because I see punishment as delivered by a judge. You know, one time I had to go to court, driving ticket. I wasn't speeding, but this guy, I got so impatient because he was turning left and he wouldn't go. And this was a one lane deal. So I went off the shoulder, you know, and I mean, as soon as I went around, there's a cop facing me. And I'm like, oh man. So I had to go through all sorts. It was just a big hassle. I had to stand before the judge and he told me what I had to do. That's judgment. Jesus does not stand before you as judge. Okay, that's already taken care of. But our Father treats us as a loving Father. Perhaps there's sin in your life that you need to get rid of and you just can't. Perhaps there's struggles that you have and you've been praying for a long time, or maybe it's happened to you and you just can't get rid of it. It's just a struggle. Well, God may allow certain things to happen, and then through that, you're going to defeat that sin or that struggle. It's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you, but it very well may. Our God disciplines us perfectly, sovereignly, and He does it in preparation for heaven. James In James, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." I don't count it all joy. But you know what? The joy comes later. When we see the good outcome, the joy comes later. I heard Terry quote something from Fanny Crosby this past week, and I was curious to read about who she was. Basically, she lost her eyesight as an infant, and she lived her whole life blind. And she went on to do great and amazing things. I mean, she wrote amazing poems. She accomplished so much. And a lot of people would tell her, "Man, I'm so sorry that you were born or that you're blind." And she would tell them, "Hey, look, you know what? Don't worry about it. Because the first face that I'm going to see when I have eyes is the face of God." She wrote this: "Someday the silver cord will break, and I will no more as now shall sing. But all the joy when I awake within the palace of the King, and I shall then see him face to face." She said that before a huge crowd of people, and people who were there wrote that the expression on her face was amazing and so hopeful when she said that last line, "I shall see him face to face." What an outlook on life. You know, you think you've got it difficult. Can you see that that's better than her? But what's your attitude like? I think one of the huge things is that she kept her eyes on Jesus. She had her eyes on the focus. Let's continue to read in verse 7. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." You're illegitimate and not sons. How has your life been lately? Let me tell you something. Sometimes I get concerned when I go for too long and everything's awesome. I don't know. Call me weird. I don't know. But if you faced nothing at all, do you know what God does to those that aren't His children? He doesn't discipline them. So if you're disciplined, count it all joy. Does that make sense? If you're going through difficult times, if God is pruning you, then that is an amazing testimony of what He's wanting to do in your life. It's unbelievable. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father and of spirits, to the Father of spirits, and live? For indeed, for a few days they chastised us, as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Can you imagine all that Joseph gained through all those trials that he went through? I wonder if he would have had the same amount of faith that he did had he not gone through all those. And what about Moses? If he had not gone and witnessed the splitting of the Red Sea and all the plagues that God put upon the Egyptians and all the wonders, he struggled. I'm sure he faced moments when he just didn't know. He maybe didn't know what was going to happen. He lost hope. But you know what? It was through those trials that he gained so much faith. Let's look at verse 12. "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Man, if you've got difficult times happening right now, if you're being disciplined by God, now we're being encouraged. He's saying, man, lift those drooping hands and strengthen your knees. And don't lose hope. Be encouraged. Be blessed. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." Man, try and live a life that is going in the right direction. A life that is just going to be not a hindrance, but a help. A woman was reporting her car stolen and mentioned that there was a car phone in it. True story. The policeman taking the report called the phone and told the guy that answered the phone that he had read the ad in the newspaper and wanted to buy the car. So the guy agreed to meet, and they met, and the thief was arrested. That was something that didn't help him, right? Didn't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. That kind of hindered him. You know what? He didn't even realize it. May God reveal to you guys those things that are hindering you. May God prune us. May He encourage us. And just know that Jesus is with you throughout every single thing that we go through. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your kindness. And Father, we pray right now, Lord, that You would look deep into our hearts. Lord, and that You would just convict us of those things, those weights, those sins that are holding us back. Lord, we're so sorry. Lord Jesus, thank You that You died, that the punishment was put upon You. Lord, we thank You that we have the hope of heaven. Father, we thank You that You love us and that You do discipline us. Lord, You're sanctifying us. You're perfecting us. And Lord, I pray for anybody here who may not be Your son or Your daughter. Lord, they need You. And if there's anybody here who has not given their life to Christ, man, you've got to do it. It just needs to be done. Without Him, there's no hope. And if you have not yet given your life and you want to, say this prayer quietly in your heart to God and just say, Lord Jesus, I give You my life. Forgive me for my sins. Thank You for dying on the cross. I believe that You rose again, that You're seated at the right hand of God the Father. I want to be Your disciple. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, we thank You so much. We worship You and we praise You, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Let's go ahead and stand up and sing.
Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands. And give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.